Do you spend, this is a rhetorical question, do you spend time talking to God every day? There's intentional prayer time, but there's also just living with Jesus, talking to Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus through every day. We're called to do that. Some people substitute talking to Jesus every day as their quality prayer time. Nothing wrong with talking to God every day, but remember, specific quality prayer time is important. Just being alone with Him, not distracted by anyone or anything else. And we need to remember that. We've been looking at the Exodus of Israel out of Egypt and the impact that it had on the Israelites and the Egyptians, and how it applies to our personal lives. Last week, we did an illustration of being trapped into a corner. And God will sometimes lead us to situations where we feel trapped. But God always has a reason and will get us out of that entrapment. And we need to listen to Him. We need to follow Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here today. I pray, Your Holy Spirit, You touch their hearts. Bless them by Your Spirit. Help them to gain spiritual insight, which only You can give. I ask that You will carry Your word and allow us to recognize not only in our own private heart, but collectively as a body, Your presence with us in even deeper ways, Father. I pray, Father, that we leave this place here today, Your house, as Your children, the household of faith, that we leave here today saying we've been fed, blessed, refreshed, learned something, and are in agreement with You to apply what we learn. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Your glory. And God's people said, amen. Nobody likes to get into that situation where we're trapped. But if God has led us to that place where we hit the wall, don't be afraid of it. We have a tendency in our human nature to get panicky quickly. We want to resolve things our own way. It's like, don't back up a dog in the corner, right? You know, don't throw a cat in your bathtub for most cats. You know what I'm saying? It's panic time. We're not to panic. If we're following Jesus and we know we're in fellowship with Him, wherever He leads us, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it entraps us in a seemingly area that we can't get out of, then that's even more the reason why we can thank God. Why? Because we can look to God and say, God, I know I followed You here. I know I'm entrapped in this little corner here. I know I'm in the center of Your will. So being that I can't get out, being that I'm trapped in here, being that I've been faithful to You, being that You led me here and I know it, that I'm exactly in Your will means that You're going to do something that's marvelous. That's part of our faith in God, to rejoice in tribulation. I hate that verse. As in my flesh, I don't want to rejoice in tribulation because I don't want tribulation. Do you? Looking at that, I'm going, who wants to rejoice in tribulation? But as we grow in Christ, we learn that God wants to do something magnificent through that trial. If we're in fellowship with Him and we're in that trial, know that God wants to do something magnificent that brings Him honor and glory. So today I want us to focus on another point. And we need to remember this from a biblical account, obviously, as we look at the scripture. God's presence is always with us, whether we are experiencing good or bad times. When we're born spiritually, we become spiritually alive, born again. We're a child of God. That will never change. In Exodus 13, verses 18 through 21, it says, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. I love that, orderly ranks. Do you know that when the Israelites were being led by God through the wilderness, when God basically took up camp and started to move as the cloud as a pillar or as a fire or a pillar at night moved, Israel had an orderly way to move and to follow God. Do you know what that orderly structure was? It's so cool. The orderly structure was that each tribe of Israel had its own position, and from aerial view or mountaintop view, it was a cross following God the Father. Whew, that's awesome. I love that. I love that. And so the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him And he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. They had a physical presence of God with them. By day it was a pillar of a cloud, by night it was a pillar of fire. You and I have the spiritual presence of Christ with us during the day and during the night. No matter what, when we are awake as a believer, we know God is with us. Sometimes God seems far. Sometimes that's a result of God testing if we're going to trust him when he seems far away. He hasn't left us. He's just allowing us to have that experience to show us how much we are really believing him and trusting on him. Other times God can seem distant because we've built barriers of sin that's unconfessed that pushes God away. And so we need to make sure that we're right with God. And if there's our conscience is clear before God, we're right with God. We know that God is with us. He won't leave us. He's promised that. And in that, we can trust the times of trial. And so the people of Israel had God with them day or night, day or night. And from the very moment that they left Egypt, God presented himself to them this way. What does Egypt represent? The world. What does it also represent? Sin. So when we leave the ways of the world, as at first, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we believe that God sent his son, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And we believe in that. And that word believe in the Greek is pistuos, which means to rely on, depend on for one's spiritual well-being. When we believe in Christ Jesus and we accept him in our heart and repent of our sin, then we know that he is with us. But also, so we've stepped out of the world. We've stepped into a new life in Christ. But also we need to know that we need to walk away from sin, because without that we don't experience the new life that God wants us to experience. So Egypt represents that, the world of the worldliness and sin in people's lives. And God led them out of Egypt like he led us out of that when we received Christ into our life. God's presence was with Israel. And again, he was that pillar or cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. What an awesome thing. Wouldn't you like it if God was that clear to us all the time? Yes. Yeah, but he's not. You know what God likes? That even though we can't see him that clearly all the time, that when we act in faith and trust him and know him, that he is blessed. He's blessed by our faithfulness and believing in him even though we don't see him, like I told the kids. Or maybe when it's not so clear, I'm going to trust you, Jesus, even when I don't, when I'm kind of leery. When we're leery and we don't know which way to go, we need to just kind of be still and let God direct us, but make sure we walk, as scripture says, circumspectly, meaning carefully, easily, step by step. Other times God will say, go here. And then we hear him, we respond, and we just do what he says to do. So we learn how to walk with Jesus carefully and diligently as he leads us. God was in front of them to lead them, and he was also in front of them to protect them. And the spiritual application for this is that when we receive Christ as our Savior, of course, he's forgiven us for our sins, and he's led us out of the life of sin. God doesn't want us to live in sin. God doesn't want us ensnared by sin, trapped by sin, slaves of sin. He set us free from the power of sin. He wants us not to live the old lifestyle, but the new lifestyle. He doesn't want us to put on the old man, the old nature. He wants us to put on the new man, the new nature of Jesus Christ in our life. He's created us as unique individuals, not only when we were born physically, but he created us as unique individuals when we were born spiritually, born again, one of a kind, unique, peculiar. I am peculiar, one of a kind. Thank you, Roy, for being quiet.
I was quiet earlier.
Yeah, okay. So we need to remember that in our uniqueness and in Christ Jesus, that God wants us to live that new life, that fullness in him. And we begin that when we receive Christ, and we develop that as we are determined and diligent and following Jesus as our Savior. Remembering, don't ever forget, and I know it sounds redundant, but it is possible that people forget that Jesus died for their sins. They might know it here, but they don't hold it dear in their heart here. They don't appreciate it here in their spirit like they ought to. They know it here, but they're not embracing it here like they should. And so we need to be careful that we don't let go of our heart saying, God forgave me of all my sins, past, present, and future. And his spirit lives in me. He lives in you as a believer in Christ. Isn't that magnificent? God the Holy Spirit lives in every person that receives him as their Savior. We become those temples of God, as we'll see later. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Now, we might get pretty upset if someone comes around and spray paints graffiti all over our church building, or breaks down our windows, or desecrates with bad language the house of God. That would be upsetting. But God expects us to keep our temple and our heart, more importantly, clean in him. Keep it in order. Keep it right. Keep it in a way that's pleasing to him, as is possible through him. God's presence is always with us once we accept Jesus as our Savior. I'm going to go back again to last week and the Israelites that were trapped at the Red Sea. Remember, they're up against the sea and they're panicking and they're looking to Moses. Last week I mentioned that I wonder what Moses was thinking. I would like to think that Moses was confident. He was. He was. We'll see that in a moment. In Exodus 14:10 it says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. What's going on? You know, that type of thing. They lifted their eyes to God. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. First, they looked up and they saw the enemy. They saw the problem. They saw the threat, that it was real, that it was happening, that it was coming, that they were trapped. Then they looked to God. I think that's a real important thing for you and I to remember. We can look at all the circumstance around us and see all the threat that the circumstance has against us, all the ways, or maybe not all the ways, that Satan is working to combat us in our faith with him. But if we will, instead of looking at the problem, look up to God. You are with me. You will not leave me, you've promised. I am looking to you, relying on you to help me to know how to govern me through this situation. But even like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, hey, king, even if we perish, if God chooses that we burn up alive in this furnace, it don't matter because we're going to stay true to God. And so we can trust God no matter what. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? So we need to trust him in everything. The enemy drew near. And they lifted up their eyes to God. They prayed. They sought the Lord's help. We need to immediately pray to God when temptations, trials, or needs hit us. Our natural tendency when temptations or trials come, our natural in the flesh tendency is either to look at the temptation and be drawn to it, or look at the trial and allow it to overwhelm us. And we begin to focus that way, horizontally, instead of what? Vertically. We need to train ourselves to shift our focus from the challenge to him, Jesus, and trust him, because he loves us. He knows what he's doing, and we can rely on him. In Exodus 14:13-14, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Remember I said, I wonder what Moses said. I'd like to think he had a lot of faith. Well, here it is. Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand still. And I love this. Moses is already knows. He says, see the salvation of the Lord. When you're stuck in a corner and trapped in a situation that you have no control over, and you know that you are right with God, watch the hand of God work. If you don't know you're right with God, get it right with God. And you'll still see the hand of God work. It's just the way it is. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Romans 12:12, a verse I wrote down this morning in my notes, says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Hold on to the hope. Trust God through the trial, the temptation. Continue in prayer, looking up to him. Do not be afraid takes faith. It takes courage. It takes a surrender of our own control to say, God, I give you control. And I know you're working good because you love me. And so he told them not to fear because God would fight for them. Romans 8:31, the second part of that verse says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I love that. If God is for us, who can be against us? They had a very physical evidence of God's presence there with them. The pillar of a cloud during the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. You and I don't have that. You and I have the Holy Spirit living in us who confirms that I am here with you. I love you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am your God. You are my child. You have been born again spiritually. You are alive in me, and I am in you. You are that living temple. You represent me in a world of darkness. The enemy will hit. The enemy will attack. You will face trials. You will face very difficult times. I've faced it, the Lord would say. And so he said it. If I've had trials, if I've had trouble and tribulation, know that you're going to have it too. The more we stand for him. But don't use that as an excuse not to stand because we're afraid of what comes our way. Know that we can stand confidently in God and see the hand of God's salvation, the work of God's hand working in our lives, revealing himself to us through it. That's where we learn who Jesus is. The problem was the Israelites focused on the enemy and not on the pillar, not on God. They focused on the enemy. I mean, in human standards, they looked at it and said, we're dead ducks in the water. Thanks a lot, Moses. Right? God said, you're not even going to be in the water. You're going to walk on dry land. Watch the power and the salvation of God. We need to focus on God, not our enemy, not our temptation, not our trial, not our problems and needs. Remember, God's presence is with you. Look at our pillar. Look at your pillar. The pillar represents God. In Exodus 14:19-20, it says, and the angel of God, that's Jesus, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of God went from before them and stood behind them. You've got two identities there. You've got the pillar of God representing the Father, and you've got the angel of the Lord representing Jesus. They were in front of them. Now they came back behind them. In other words, they're walking in. They're the Red Sea's here. The enemy's here. Pharaoh and his army, they're here. The pillar goes behind them because the pillar was leading them, right, by day and night. And the angel of the Lord was with them. Well, now all of a sudden, that pillar is behind them. And the angel of the Lord is Jesus standing behind them, meaning up they're bringing up the rear, and you don't have to worry about what's coming your way. I've already paved the way. I've already given you the sight you need, the instruction. Walk through the Red Sea on dry ground to that safe place. I'm right there protecting you from the enemy that's charging after you. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. And so you've got this picture of a pillar and the angel of the Lord standing in their presence, helping them to realize that God is in control. God's presence was still with them, working to protect them and brought, we have bring here, but, and brought light into their dark, scary situation. We face dark, scary situations, don't we? We get into places that are scary because we don't know the way out. We get into places that are scary because our mind is thinking about all the consequences of the circumstances that we are facing. What the maybes, what the outcome might be, what logically says is the outcome of the situation. When we should be looking to God and say, God, you know the physical elements of this problem, but you have the way of salvation. And I'm going to trust you to walk me through this scary place. Jesus is our light. He will not leave us in darkness, for his light is always with us. Jesus said, I am the light. And if we look to the light and not at the darkness, we look to Jesus and not to the enemy, we acknowledge him and keep our hearts right with him and follow that pillar of faith, the pillar of God before us, we are safe. If we look at all the problems, we get scared. Remember Peter walking on water when he stepped out of the boat by faith and walked on water? I love that story. He's walking to Jesus. He's like, wow, look at this. It's so cool. Then he looked at the swells and the high waves and the wind. And he began to look at the circumstance. He began to rationalize with his own mind. The reality is that this is not good. This is dangerous. I'm going to be swallowed up and drown and die right here. He shifted his focus horizontally instead of that way, to the pillar, to God, to Jesus. And Jesus, when he reached down, he took his hand and said, oh, you of little faith. God wants us to live by faith, not by sight. Scripture's plain about that. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, like the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, a strong wind. The sea to go back by a strong east wind at that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. I can't imagine the reality of that. I can't imagine seeing, you know, Moses doing what God says in the sea, this humongous wind comes and the Red Sea starts to part. The light bulb going on saying, God is doing something. Look at that. He's doing the impossible. How awesome is that? And he made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on the left. I'm curious if anybody walking on the dry land with the waters piled up on either side stopped to look inside to see the life, the aquatic life. And someone say, get moving. We don't have much time. God said, go that way. We can get distracted from being on the will of God. Don't get distracted from the calling, the purpose, the directive that God gives us as we follow him. God showed his might and power over nature. I love that. And the enemy. You know, that might and power over nature is otherwise called what? A miracle. Right? And over the enemy, a miracle. There's no way out. God made a miracle. He made a way out for his people. We're never trapped without hope. If we find ourselves trapped, realize if we're right with God, that God is going to work a miracle that reveals him to us. And if we're not right with God and we're trapped, make yourself right so God will show us the way. It's key. We may not receive the dramatic effects of God working that way in our lives, but we do see miracles today. We see healing miracles. We see all sorts of miracles that still take place today. And God wants to do those miracles. But we need to trust in what God wants to do. God will take care of us the best way possible. What he deems is best for you and I, he will do. But more than this, we need to learn to keep our eyes focused on God. We need to learn to be aware of his presence. We need to learn to talk to him like a friend day and night. Now you're saying, you're not telling me anything new, Pastor. I know this. But and as I was thinking about this message, I'm thinking, there are a lot of things that we know. Simple things like keep your eyes on God, be aware of his presence in your life, talk to him all the time. We know this. But in its simplicity, I think that we easily are pulled away from those simple elements of our Christian walk. Learn to put our eyes on him. It's a spiritual application that we have to learn to make it a part of our life by the nature of God in us. Keep our eyes on him. Be spiritually sensitive and aware of God's presence with you. That's our attentiveness. That's our spiritual eye saying, God, I want to see you. I want to know you. I'm aware that you're with me. That's a focal point. And we need to talk to him. Some people are so afraid to talk to God because they don't know how. Just talk to him. In your own way, in your own conversation, as you are, as your individual person, talk to him. Nobody said in Scripture, you have to talk eloquently to God. He's your Father who loves you. Talk to him. These are basic principles that I think many Christians forget. And when they do, they end up getting off the path and they end up getting robbed and short-sighted to the things of God. So do those things. God wants a relationship with us. I'm going to look at quickly some other verses just as a reference. It says in Psalm 139, 2 through 7, you know everything I do. God still loves me. He knows every thought, every action, everything we do. God still loves me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me, whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions, good or bad. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. But he wants us to speak by faith, trusting in him, right? You were all around me on every side, aware of his presence. You protect me with your power. Trust him. Your acknowledgement of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. I tell people many times, God knows you better than you know yourself. We're always trying to figure ourselves out. Why did I do that? What am I thinking? Why am I confused? Why do I behave this way? What is it with me? God knows everything about us to the fullest extent and who we are, and he loves us. In Psalm 125:2, it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. We are the camp of God's people. We are in the wilderness of this world. And God is with us no matter what the threat is that we face. What's the answer? Focus on God. Here's something that I think that before I close, we have just a minute here. But something we need to understand is that I've seen, like, with this dates me a little bit, like the time of Desert Storm, when I was pastoring my first church, strangers were coming in. We left the doors unlocked at that time, and strangers would just come in and just get in their pews, and they'd get on their knees on the floor, and they would pray. I asked the lady, I said, you know, it's good that you're here. Why are you here praying? My son's in Desert Storm. People that face threatening circumstances, that they're having a health circumstance that reminds them of their immortality and that they could die. What does that do to a lot of people? They start looking to God. But isn't it much better for us that we don't have those extreme surrounding circumstances that threaten us to cause us to look to God? Isn't it better that we look to God as a way of life every day? That's better. Because when we do that, then when we have those circumstances that surround us and threaten us and all of our human logic, we have a relationship with God that is so solid and sound that we can say, "You're walking me right through this. Whatever your will is best. If I live, I live for you. If I die, I gain." We're confident in God. That is the result of living our walk with God, keeping our focus on Him, following Him. So here's some scriptures you might want to look up or maybe have a memory verse with, but real quickly, the Lord is near. You have the references on the board. Fear not, for I am with you. I am with you in Acts 18. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. How long? To the end of the age. Talking about this world. Talking about the church age. But that doesn't mean He leaves us. It's just saying that I am with you as on your journey of life. And we know that we're with Him when we're with Him in heaven. So remember, take your eyes off the enemy or problems and focus them on our pillar standing there with us. Let our pillar guide and protect you. Amen? Let the pillar acknowledge the pillar. He will guide and He will protect us. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for you and for your work and for the ways that you speak to our hearts. And any spiritual enlightenment that any of us receive is because you gave us that spiritual enlightenment. Any tug on our hearts spiritually is because you are doing that tug on our hearts. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for the absoluteness and security of your word. Your love letter to us, teaching us how to live for you. And I pray, Father, that as your people, that we will be that peculiar people set apart for you, and that our lives will reflect our focus on you, our love for you, and our relationship with you as being upright and true. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.